Well, hello there, and welcome to Take Two with Jerry and Debbie. It's Friday, last Friday of the month, and you know what that means. Unscripted. And we want you to join us. That means you bring to the table anything that's on your mind, your heart. You want to revisit some past shows. You want to suggest future topics. We're here to listen and to converse. We can have a wonderful conversation if you do not get started with your weekend yet. If you call in and add to the conversation at 1-833-288-3986. And there's a lot to talk about, Jerry. We know that.
Well, there is, and you started off saying it's the last Friday of the month, and you know what that means. And I was going to say it means there's no more Fridays this month.
True.
Sometimes I'm a simple thinker, but it's unscripted. What do you guys want to talk about today? Not like there's nothing going on in the world, in the church, in maybe your community. I want to talk about, back to school stuff. We were talking before the program, college football is kind of starting to come back a little bit. Maybe you've got some thoughts on sports and sporting events or, just getting out during this. Hopefully the pandemic, is not going to strike us again real hard. But anyway, anything you want to talk about, 833-288-3986. It is unscripted today on Take Two.
So we need to hear from you. This goes very fast, this show. So if you have something to say, now's the time to do it. This open forum is just for you once a month. Go ahead, take it away at 1-833-288-3986. I stumbled there a little bit because Jerry and I, for the past couple of days, and this is the final day of Sacred Heart Radio in Seattle area and surrounding areas, their Share-a-thon, fall Share-a-thon, and it's the final day, and a lot of enthusiastic pledgers. It's just wonderful seeing people, be co-owners with the station and taking it on and supporting Catholic Radio and bringing us all together and praising God that we have Catholic Radio. So if your Catholic radio station comes to you and says it's time to raise the necessary funds, please dig deep and help your local listening area, your local Catholic radio station. And of course, please remember EWTN as well. Jerry, after you get done saying something, I've got to tell you something that just happened right before the show.
After I get done saying something?
Because you always say something really, I could tell when you're ready to speak,
Really? Do I look like I'm ready to pounce on the microphone here? Well, yeah, I just want to reiterate again, there's no Take Two with Jerry and Debbie any day without you, the listeners, but especially on Unscripted, you bring the topic. We can certainly talk about faith issues. If you've got a faith question, how's your spiritual life going? Are you staying up on your prayer life during the pandemic here and all the chaotic activities that are going on and things starting to open up and then closing down a little bit again and all just the chaos in the world. How are you feeling about everything? 833-288-3986. You had something you were going to say.
Yes. So this just happened right before the show. I had a very disturbing phone call with somebody that I am working with on behalf of my mom. And it just was really disturbing. And her attitude, the way she just kind of talk about being, pouncing. She was very aggressive, very threatening. I felt bad because I'm like, is this what this world is coming to where we can't talk to one another in a kind way? But then I remembered. Okay. So then I remembered I have the most extraordinary book that is really has transformed the way I go through anger and stress and all sorts of things. So I'm going to show the books right now if you're on YouTube or Facebook because it's from our dear, dear friend, best-selling author and speaker Gary Zimak. Okay, everybody knows that I endorse the book Give Up Worry for Lent. I love it. Here's the book right here. I have it right here. I love it. But Gary just finished writing, and Jerry, it's amazing. Let go of anger and stress. Let go of anger and stress. So I just want to say, and Gary had asked me if I would read it and endorse it. And unfortunately, Jerry, with our schedule, I wasn't able to actually give a written endorsement. So I'm giving one globally right now. Get this book. It is a game changer for the way you deal with anger and stress. He did a brilliant job in this. There's so many chapters, Jerry, that you can go through with the reflection and the the questions and all sorts of, you know, ways to step through and get past it. I just want to say to our dear friend, Gary Zimak, well done. Great book. Got it. I have both of them. See?
So yeah, I love it. I see him right there.
I love it. But you know what? I'm so grateful because normally I would have hung up the phone on this person, but I didn't.
Good. You're getting better.
I am. I'm growing. I'm learning. Thank you, Gary.
You're growing. Moving forward. That's good.
So anyway, I just wanted to share that. It's always good to have these helpful resources and written by people that you trust, you know?
Yeah, I love Gary's books because he writes, you know, in a style that is easy to understand and digest and apply to our lives. So I join you in endorsing anything written by Gary Zimak.
Mm-hmm. And I love the title, Let Go of Anger. Mm-hmm. Yes, got to let go of it. But, you know, phone lines are filling up. This is unscripted. This show is for you once a month for you to be able to express anything that you feel you want the world to know. And we can talk about it. So all you got to do is dial this number, 833-288-3986, or text us. You text the letters EWTN to 55000, or you can email us, take2@EWTN.com, or go on Facebook, YouTube. We're waving to you, and you can leave your comments there. I believe Gary's listening to our show right now, because he just made a comment. I'm going to read it.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah. That's so cool.
Yeah, okay. It really is. Yeah. So, yeah, anything you want to talk about today, we've got Bill and Kathleen, and Ryan is on the phones. Ryan Penny screening calls. Jeff Burson is on the social media. As Debbie said, you can comment on EWTN Catholic Radio Facebook or YouTube pages. And we've got Michael Birchfield, our producer, is on the controls today. So we are backed and fortified by a great team who help us out with the program every day. And you're the one that we want to have as the key to the program, as always, our discussion today at 833-288-3986, 833-288-EWTN.
Okay, I was a little bit mistaken because it was a G that came up. It's actually Gigi, our facilitator for the book club. Gigi. She said that yes, we are doing Let Go of Anger and Stress in the book club in 2021.
Nice.
Yeah.
Very good.
Way to go. I'm so excited. I can't wait to do it with the group.
Yeah. It's fun. It's fun. Yeah. It's a lot of fun. We thank Gigi for helping out with that and all the people who assist our ministry and you, the Take Two family. Join us here on this unscripted Friday. Great to have you with us, winding up a week of broadcasts of Take Two with Jerry and Debbie. Don't forget the show encores at midnight if you or anyone you know likes to listen to it and you don't catch the live broadcast midnight Eastern on most of these same EWTN stations. And Fridays also mean Father Spitzer's Universe, 8 p.m. Eastern time. Father Robert Spitzer answers questions on reason, faith, suffering, virtue, the existence of God. And this week, Father talks about what is so special about the Catholic Church. And that should be a fascinating show tonight at 8 p.m. Eastern, Father Spitzer's Universe.
It's always fascinating. He's amazing. Okay, Gary Zimak did make a comment. He made a comment on our live video book clubs thanking us for support of the book. Well, Gary, it was easy to support this book. I love this book, Let Go of Anger and Stress. It's Give Up Worry for Lent is like my favorite, but Let Go of Anger and Stress is incredible. So way to go. And thanks for listening. And thanks for supporting us at Take Two. We love your support as well. Jerry?
Yes?
We have full phone lines.
We do.
So I have my notebook out. I'm ready to go when you are.
Okay, well, we're going to start with Bill in Levittown, Pennsylvania. He is listening on Holy Spirit Radio. People on Holy Spirit Radio know Gary Zimak very well. Hi, Bill. Welcome to Take Two.
Yes, I'm doing well. Thank you. I'd like to talk about a book that's really helped me during adoration. It's called. It's put out by Magnificat. It's called Adoration Companion. That there's wonderful reflection from church leaders from the past and very near present, and that help you during the time to really reflect on the Eucharistic Lord that you're adoring at that time.
Oh, good. It's called Adoration Companion. Is that what you said,
yes,
Bill?
Yes, it is. But it's put out by Magnificat.
Okay. Yeah, I'm on the Magnificat website right now, and I can see this. And yeah, this is, it's great that you use that. I mean, it's so important when we want to cultivate our prayer lives that we have some sort of structure and discipline, and not necessarily the whole time. I mean, we should spend some time listening and spontaneous prayer and all of that. But this is great. What is it specifically about this, Bill, that you really derive benefit from?
Well, it's just that no matter where you turn, you get a scripture reading and a reflection by somebody from the church past that you can really learn something from, from their perspective.
Yeah. It's good. Wonderful idea. Yeah, good idea, huh, Deb?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know, I am very... I'm a big supporter of having resources to deepen our faith life, our spiritual life, when we have any type of prayer encounter with the Lord. I'm a big person that supports that. Some people say, well, I just kind of naturally let it just whatever happens. I organically let it unfold, and that's okay. Too. But when you can really focus in and you can really tap in, that reminds me, Bill, of how the saints did it. Okay. And these saints are our role models. Okay. We should be using their lives to help us. Right. And so I think it's so important that we do spend that extra time investigating, looking into, and utilizing these resources around us that can really take our faith life, our spiritual life, to a much deeper level. I think we settle, we fall short. We settle and we say, okay, well, I'm close enough. You know, I think I got a pretty good relationship with God. You know, okay, we need to keep going deeper until we're in full union with God, which would obviously be in heaven. What do you think, Bill?
Absolutely. That's when we'll be in complete union with God. That's when we will be.
Yeah. Well, I'm looking at, again, on the website here, which is, well, you find it at magnificat.net, M-A-G-N-I-F-I-C-A-T, magnificat.net. And the editor-in-chief is Father Sebastian White, and he has a beautiful piece that he wrote here, a little paragraph. And part of that is, says, if you ever fear, even for the slightest moment, that God does not remain with you, that somehow you're all alone in the world, you have only to look toward the tabernacle and the small flame that signals what lies within it to be assured of the presence of God. Absolutely beautiful. Thank you, Bill, for the call and bringing this resource to our attention.
Thank you, Bill. Thank you. Okay, may I just say something? Because this is coming in real time. Okay, this is very interesting. So see how we have to uncover the facts, because all these reports come from around the world and we hear different things. And then we obviously want to make others aware of it so that we can start praying. And this is what I thought initially, but this is interesting. Now this is conflicting reports. Jerry, remember initially I had shared a report from a reputable source, news source, that St. Agatha's church was vandalized. They desecrated the Eucharist. They destroyed the tabernacle. And then the enclosed body of St. Agatha. It looked like it was St. Agatha's, you know, incorrupt body. But then reports were coming out in Sicily. Then reports were coming out that this was not her remains were buried elsewhere. Now it just came out this 6 minutes ago. Listen to this. So we were right to begin this. So who knows? I think maybe they did this because I understand the people of Sicily were completely shocked by this horrible, horrible thing that happened. It says two Italian men arrested for vandalizing church containing body of St. Agatha, and the body was desecrated.
Wow.
So that was the original thing we said. And then they said, no, it was a statue they just broke. Now they're saying it could possibly be the incorrupt body or the relics. This is a mess in Sicily. We need to pray. And this is horrible because if you look at the pictures of it, it just makes your stomach hurt. that anybody would even think to do something so just when you think about it, Jerry, there's no other way to describe it. It's demonic.
It is. Yeah, there's a lot of that activity going on in a lot of places right now. We do need to ramp up our prayer lives. We're going to talk to Kathleen next in Boston, listening on the Station of the Cross to Take Two with Jerry and Debbie. Hi, Kathleen. Thanks for joining us today.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, Jerry and Debbie. Wonderful to hear your voices and how you're able to help us all and sort through things that are going on. And actually, my comment is going to knit in what just happened in Italy. I'm really talking about anti-Catholicism. And last night, I sent an email to Senator Dianne Feinstein. I think you know where I'm going with this, because in 2017, with Amy Barrett, who was up for the circuitry judgeship, when she said, "Your dogma lives strongly in you," that is against Article 6 of our Constitution. She had no right to do that, and I sent her an email, and then I followed up. My uncle, Torbett Hart McDonald, the Honorable Torbett Hart McDonald, was the congressman over in the Malden, Medford, Melrose area. He died unexpectedly. He had served for 22 years, and Ed Markey took his place. He was congressman then for quite a number of years, and then he became a senator and had a race recently against one of the Kennedys. But the fact still remains that I sent him a message, and I said, because he knows our family, and I mentioned my name. I know Senator Markey, and I said, that doesn't get me a cup of coffee, but the reason I put that in there was to let him know that he took the place of a man that was a World War II hero, a Harvard graduate, Harvard Law School, brilliant man, did a lot for our area and stood up for our faith. And Markey, I'm going to say some of the people, I'm not going to just pick him out, but there's politicians that do not stand up for our faith. And what I said to Senator Markey in that email was, my uncle would have called Senator Dianne Feinstein up and told her to knock it off, to really stop deliberately stepping on our Constitution in a very hateful way. And I hope that doesn't happen with the upcoming appointment that President Trump is going to have if it is a Catholic woman, because last year, maybe about a year and a half ago, I was standing outside of my parish, Holy Name in West Roxbury, and we had signs, defund Planned Parenthood. And there were quite a few people in this area that yelled out to us, "I hate you Catholics. You're nothing but troublemakers." So people want to talk about civil rights and all the lives that matter. Well, Catholic lives matter. And for us, it's important for us to stand up. I listened to Father Mitch Parkour on EWTN just a few days ago, and he mentioned that this is our duty to send text messages. Google it. How to get in touch with Senator Dianne Feinstein, how to get in touch with anyone's senator. You just Google it, and there will be a way to send them a message. And I'm asking, please, whether you're a Catholic, doesn't matter, a Christian, a Jewish person, when they step on one of us, they're going to step on all of us. And I'm everybody's grandmother, I was telling Ryan. By the way, you have a wonderful person that sorts through the calls and everything. He does a great job.
Is,
what a gift he is. So I told him, I'm everybody's grandmother. And when I'm at the store or wherever I am, I usually have a conversation. Now I'm wearing a mask, but and I'm not a threatening type of person, and I let the young people know you have a responsibility to stand up for our country, to not vote for anyone that has socialism in mind, that the Communist Party did this on purpose from China. It was manufactured, and that we need to stick together as Americans. We're all Americans. All lives matter.
Well, Kathleen, let me comment on a couple of things here. Forgive me for I lose thoughts in my head real quickly. Things fall out of my head fast, and I was saying, 20, 30 years ago, the last legitimate target of prejudice is the Catholic Church. No other institution, no other organization, no other movement. You can't say a thing about anyone, and yet the most egregious things are said about the church and done to the church. You mentioned the tie-in to the attack on the church in Sicily. And really, the only answer to the world's ills is Catholicism, is the Catholic faith, because peace is only present when there is justice. That's why we talk about, you know, some dioceses have an office of justice and peace. It's not peace and justice, because the peace comes when there is justice done. And Debbie, we're talking, Kathleen is making some great points. I think the answer to this is we have to be educated, informed, and we have to vote and register to vote and get out there and vote according to our well-formed Catholic consciences.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Absolutely. I commend you for doing that, Kathleen. I think sometimes we as Christians, we sit quiet until it's too late, and then we try to do something afterwards, and it's just it's a day late and a dollar short. It doesn't seem to have any impact. So I think we have to speak up, even if it means that we are going to get persecuted. As you were speaking, Kathleen, about 6 text messages came in, and they said, Debbie, you and Jerry are correct. There's mixed messages coming out of Sicily right now. It was not her actual incorrupt body. It was the relics. John Paul II's relics were taken as well in a different place. And you know what? This is really interesting. So just let's look at it this. Whether or not it was her incorrupt body or not, so we don't know yet. We don't have confirmation, probably because people are stunned. This is an attack. Okay, this is demonic. And this is what's happening. Why are the demons attacking our Eucharist? Why are they attacking first-class relics of our saints? Why? Because we have the truth. It's that simple. Yep. Okay? It's that
Absolutely.
Simple. So when you stand in the truth, okay, it's not always going to be well-received, and we may be killed for it, but we must stand in the truth because that's all we have. If we don't have the truth, what do we have? We have nothing. And so we're going to be attacked and crucified for that. Go ahead, Kathleen.
Oh, sorry, honey. No, go ahead.
No, you go right ahead.
If we don't know what we're living for, we better know what we'd die for. Mm-hmm. I would die for my faith. I've already made that decision if that happens. And I have to be bold in our Lord, because this is a time for us Catholics, us Christians, us Jews, all people of faith, to stand up for what's right. I don't want anyone to do anything to a mosque, to a temple, and to any church, and anything, because that is against our Constitution. Our ancestors fought for this, and if we're not going to be bold enough, then we'll get something that we don't want. So I'm just asking people, use the power of speech. Go ahead, send the text messages, the emails, call your friends, send letters, because we need to stand up for our faith. So thank you, Debbie and Jerry, for giving us this way to just think about it and to not be lackadaisical Catholics. We can't be.
Yeah. Well, and let me tell you something, Kathleen, not everyone loves this format that we do on Take Two. You know, there's a lot of people that say, you know, you should just teach the catechism or just constantly, you know, preach the message and not, you know, let the faithful speak. We are the church. We are the church. And Jerry and I believe it's time for us as the faithful to express how we're feeling. Great comment that just came in, Kathleen, as you were speaking, from one of our listeners, Marianne. She says we should be really concerned when the church isn't persecuted. So that means we stand in the truth, and we know we have Jesus, Mary, all of the angels and saints, and I take comfort in that. Jerry?
And thanks, same Kathleen. With us, yeah, the church in general, and us as individual Catholic Christians, you know, if we're not stirring up a little trouble with the underworld, we want to check our walk with Jesus. We'll be right back.
We're so glad you joined us on Unscripted today on Take Two with Jerry and Debbie. My blood pressure is going sky high. I'm getting fired up with these conversations because, you know, we do, you know, those of us that are really have spent the time working on our relationship with God, Jerry, we just know in deep in our souls what the truth is, and what we're seeing around us is anything but the truth. And that's really frustrating. And if you feel that way, we feel that as well. Wouldn't you say, Jerry?
Yeah. Yeah, I think this is a time for all of us to be really bolstering our prayer lives and spiritual lives. The world has been missing a lot of graces that are normally there, Debbie, as we pointed out before, because of the absence of the Mass in many places and just because of so much sin. And like I was mentioning, you know, going into the break, we need to really examine our walk with the Lord. If I can just comment on something, you know, you talked about, you know, the devil, you know, and desecrating the Eucharist and all of this. Mm-hmm. And we know that for, you know, forever, for probably all of history, you know, enemies of God and witchcraft, covens and so forth always try and steal the consecrated host to have their black masses and so forth. And it reminded me of a passage in Mark chapter 5. It says when it's this demoniac, remember? And he said when he saw Jesus from a distance, he ran and fell on his knees in front of him. And he shouted at the top of his voice, "What do you want with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? In God's name, don't torture me." Who was it that told the demon that Jesus was the Son of God? He just knew it. See, they know what to go after. The Catholic Church is the church founded by Jesus Christ. It's the church of the Eucharist and all the other sacraments. And therefore, it's going to be, I think, the one that is going to really feel the brunt of the attacks of the enemy. So, yeah, it's no surprise, like you were saying before.
Yeah. I just want to say real quickly, about 15 years ago, I worked at a parish and I was, the pastor, got word that there were gangs in the area that were Satanists and they were coming into mass, into the masses and getting at least one or two consecrated hosts, pocketing them and then using them exactly what you were saying, Jerry. And I remember the local authorities and everybody were contacted on how to handle this. And, it was really interesting because the pastor at the time, he has now since passed away, amazing priest. But Jerry, it was interesting. This pastor said, "No, we're not gonna stay quiet. We're gonna get the whole community to stop this. We're gonna say the necessary prayers. We're going to process the Eucharist around the perimeter of the church. Everything." He went on a 6-month, you know, real, you know, very assertive, you know, aggressive kind of prayerful attack to stop this. And guess what happened? The authorities told our pastor, said, "You're not going to believe this, Father, but the gangs are starting to change and people are starting to come back around to the faith."
Wow. Yeah. See, yeah, that's he didn't, power he of didn't, the Eucharist. Yeah.
Yeah, and he didn't stay quiet, though. My point is, he didn't say, "Oh, let's downplay it so we don't want to, you know, get the community all upset." He went on the spiritual, you know, way to attack this, which is beautiful. I mean, it was beautiful. He went with the truth, the Eucharist. So anyway, just a side note there. Yeah. Go ahead.
It's Take Two with Jerry and Debbie, unscripted on this last Friday of the month, 833-288-3986. And Kathy is next, has been holding patiently in Marquette, Michigan. Hi, Kathy. Welcome to the program.
Oh, hi. Thank you so much for taking my call. I was calling today because something's been on my heart about the problems we're having with our environment and also the cost to human lives that are being human beings' lives lost because of wildfires and hurricanes. And I'm thinking that, you know, we're not being very good stewards of God's creation. And I was wondering if you had any suggestions that would help bring this awareness of the fact that, you know, God counts on us to make sure that all of his creation thrives. And it's not us versus nature. I mean, we're supposed to be cooperating with God and taking care of his world.
Mm-hmm. Well, Kathy, this is just my personal opinion on this, and so this is, I'm not representing the church right now. I'm just talking just as Debbie Giorgiani. We just have to take care of what's around us, you know, what we have influence around us. So in our homes, in our parishes, in our communities. Because if we're going to rely on somebody in government or even local government to make the decisions for us, we know that doesn't work, because there's corruption that goes all the way up. Okay. And you referenced the fires. You know, some of those fires were started by people. Okay. So it's not like it happened that it was some kind of, you know, climate, you know, thing that shifted or whatever. This was arson. Okay. So we have a real problem with people making godly decisions at the top and in our local areas. And I just think we need to get active in our right around us in our community. We need to be active and start there, and it will spread. It's the Saint Teresa of Calcutta, you know, way that she always told us to do: start right in your homes and then let it branch out. It's the concept of subsidiarity, Jerry. I mean, bring it down to the local level. If we're going to think that this is going to be blanketed by government, we can almost rest assured, Kathy, that there's going to be some, you know, corrupt, dishonest thing happening that doesn't serve the ultimate purpose. That's just my thought, Kathy. And what do you think, Jerry?
Well, yeah, I'm reminded of there was those bumper stickers a while back, several years ago. I saw them, said think globally and act locally. And I think that's what you're saying, Debbie. And I would also add this, Kathy. I'm of the opinion, I believe that creation, all of creation, not just, you know, man and woman, but all of creation is tied in together, you know, and as we sin, as we, you know, commit sin and don't live lives according to the will of God and the grace of God, creation is going to feel the effects of that. And St. Paul says in the book of Romans chapter 8, he talks about creation waits in eager expectation for the children of God to be revealed. For the creation was subjected to frustration, not by its own choice, by the will of the one who subjected it. And then he says in verse 22, we know that the whole creation has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth right up to the present time. So, we are called to be stewards of the earth. And I was just driving the other day and I saw a pile of trash on the side of the road. And you know me, Debbie, you know, whether it's obsessive. Didn't, but I thought about it. But see, that's where it should begin, I think, as Debbie's talking about, is we can all do whatever we can. Obviously, there are bigger issues, you know, people, you know, ruining the environment and so forth. But what do you think, Kathy, about what we've said?
Oh, I agree with you wholeheartedly that's our best course. I do think, though, that as responsible Christian stewards, we need to at least accept scientific evidence regarding like climate change. Granted, the wildfires weren't started necessarily by climate change, but because of droughts and extended droughts and other factors that are from climate change, which is, there's plenty of scientific evidence for that. The other thing I wanted to mention, your previous caller, is, you know, we were talking about truth and coronavirus not created in the lab. It's the result of people infringing upon untouched environments, interacting with wildlife, eating bats, bringing them to a meat market where their virus is mingled with virus from another animal, maybe a pangolin, maybe a pig. They don't know yet, but it wasn't weaponized. My only other comment, and I'll end with this, is just that, you know, I mean, Jesus says that God sees the fall of the sparrow and uses that to say how much God loves us. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, isn't God going to see who threw the rock that made the sparrow fall? I just think we need to be take some responsibility for the consequences of our actions.
Mm-hmm. Right, but Kathy, before we let you go, I just want to ask you this question, not to put you on the spot, but mm-hmm. it's always an interesting thing to me. We want to tackle so many things that we know that God would frown upon. Like, we want to say, okay, God would not be happy about this, so let's do something. We should be doing this. What about abortion, Kathy? Right now, as we're doing... Right now, as we're doing this broadcast, I mean, somebody who's really active in the pro-life ministry, there's, you know, how many babies have been killed in the womb right now as we're doing this broadcast?
Oh, I know, and we do have to, but I think, you know, part of being a Catholic is that we have to be consistent and have integrity in all aspects of our life. I totally am pro-life, and I support our local care clinic, which supports people with problem pregnancies.
Good, good.
And it's also causing for me a huge dilemma with this election. I voted for Donald Trump last time because of his pro-life stance, but now there's reports of forced sterilization on immigrant women in ICE camps in Georgia. Well, we can't support that.
Right. Yeah,
I mean, I'm for life, but I'm for life. I'm for human lives. I'm for black lives, brown lives, white lives, blue lives, and all of God's life that's here on this world. I'm pro-life.
Yes, we are as well, Kathy. I know, Jerry, you wanted to say something. I just want to say this real quickly, though. I heard a wonderful, he is a top-notch apologist, speaker, author. He is amazing. People just love to hear him speak in the Catholic circle. And he said, why don't we try this? Okay, let's try to get the abortion thing right and see what happens after that, because we're looking at all these subsequent things that are happening, isolated things, but we're still missing the main, you know, issue, the preeminent issue. It's intrinsically evil, and we have allowed it to happen. Okay, and so what happens from that? We're not going to get any good from that. We could clean up all the good around it if we still got the main point that is just horribly, horribly offensive to God in ways that we will never know until we get to heaven. Okay, I agree with this great speaker and apologist. He said, let's try this first. Why don't we try getting the abortion thing right, meaning to stop all abortions, okay, and then see what happens after that. What do you think of that idea, Jerry?
Sure. Yeah. Well, the U.S. bishops have said that is the preeminent issue facing us today. And so, again, Kathy, great phone call. We appreciate your concern for this. I don't think you're going to, well, I know you're not going to get any disagreement on the part of me or Debbie or anyone, you know, at EWTN as far as being good stewards of the environment. And it's really not either or. I think it's both and. And it does start with us, Debbie, as you said, and hopefully it goes on from there.
Yeah. Thank you, Kathy. You are wonderful.
Thanks,
thank
Kathy.
You for the call. It really got us having these great conversations. This is what we need to have. And then we need to finish the conversations having some wonderful, loving thoughts to one another, which is beautiful because we really all want to, hopefully all of us want to get to heaven, and that's the road we're on, and hopefully we're on it together, and that's beautiful. So thank you, Kathy. God bless you. Thank you for your pro-life work that you do.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, where are we going next, Jerry?
Laureen is in, I think it's Latham, New York. I'm not exactly sure, but Michaeline is in. Laureen, hang on. You were right after Michaeline in Pennsylvania listening on the EWTN app. Hi, Michaeline. Welcome to Take Two.
Hi, Michaeline. Love your name.
Yes. Hello. I want to add on to the second caller, Kathleen, who said it is our obligation and our duty to be active participants in our church and in our culture. And I personally am active, and when good things happen, like with Father Altman or Bishop Strickland, I make sure I reach out to them and congratulate them and say, like, we're behind you. And when there's clergy that are doing the wrong thing, I make sure I reach out to that person and or office and say I disagree. And I just want to say that I really would love if everybody thought about what Bishop Sheen told us like decades ago, that it is up to the laity to make our priests act like priests and our bishops act like bishops. And myself and a few other people, we have a someone running for office who is a Catholic but not running in the pro-life party. And so myself and some other people went and we stood at the parish at Vigil Mass on Saturday, and we had Catholics Vote Pro-Life signs. And we just, you know, quietly affirmed our faith as people were walking into Mass and as people, we were planning on waiting till people walked out. And in the interim, towards the end, prior to people exiting, the priest came out of the rectory and told us that we had to leave. And we were like, Father, why do we have to leave? We're just affirming our faith, the Catholics vote pro-life. And so he said, you have to leave. And he tried to say that they would lose public funding for saying, talking politics, but that's not even true. And anyway, so we stayed, and he said he threatened us to call the police, and he did call the police. And four police officers came, and obviously we weren't doing anything wrong. The police said we have the right to you know, stand there with Catholics vote pro-life signs. So we stayed, but it was in God's timing because as people were exiting Mass, they saw four police officers out there, and then they found out that the priest called the police on us, and they were very upset with the priest. They couldn't believe it. Like, it was like, we vote pro-life. So it was good. We're going back again because that's our faith. We're not protesting. We're affirming our faith, and I think that we have to. Our own brethren are the ones that are don't get it. Don't get that life is preeminent. So we're just affirming our faith. That's all we're doing. We're just affirming our faith. And
right,
I think,
right.
You know, they say teach to your own first, right?
Right. So. Well, and yeah, and we also read in the Bible, Michaeline, the judgment begins with the house of God. So, you know, it's nothing new in the church. I mean, Jesus chose the 12, and one of them he knew one of them would betray him. And we are naive if we think that every Catholic on the face of the earth, and even every priest and bishop, is going to be in complete unison with the teachings and the will of God, and especially on human life and all of this. And we applaud you for your public stance on this. And sorry you had that unfortunate experience, but Debbie, you know, it's a matter of there is no gray area in the church's teachings, especially on human life, abortion, and things like that. And so we need to all stand our ground, be public witnesses, as Michaeline is doing, and then hope and pray that God will touch the hearts of those who maybe hold a position that is opposed to that.
Yeah, I agree. Thank you, Michaeline. Thank you so very much. I just wanted to say, you know, it's going to come with a sense of persecution. It's going to happen when you stand, no matter what level you defend God. Okay. When you defend God, it comes with resistance because some people have compromised. Some people have, deadened their conscience. They have walked away. They have made excuses. You know, there's a lot of people that don't believe in hell. Okay. So what does that tell you? So when you encounter, your fellow brothers and sisters, it can be tough, Jerry. It can be really tough. And, you know, we should take a moment and thank EWTN. You know, thank you to EWTN for allowing us to have this wonderful show, 5+ years, where we come together as the mystical body of Christ. We express our thoughts, our words, our life experiences. You know, we get to be the faithful and we get to speak, and it's a beautiful thing. And EWTN, and it's been wonderful. And so we're very grateful to have this platform and to continue to have these loving, kind conversations. We tell the truth in love, and we don't walk away hating one another. We walk away loving one another, sending each other virtual hugs. So it's a beautiful thing. Thank you, Michaeline. Thank you. I just wanted to share that, Jerry, because there's a lot of places that you can't have these conversations. They're uncomfortable. People think, you know, oh, is this person going to, you know, hate me, unfriend me, and all this kind of stuff. It's nonsense. You know, come on, look at the big picture, right?
Right. Absolutely. Well, I want to point out Church Pop before we go to Lorene in New York. Church Pop is a service of EWTN, features new online Christian content that's fun, informative, and inspirational, and you will find it on Snapchat, Instagram, and on the web at churchpop, that's churchpop.com. Okay, Lorene, thank you for you definitely got our Patience Award today. Is it Latham, New York? Is that how you say your town, Lorene?
Yes, okay. That's correct, yes.
Beautiful, beautiful. Yeah, well, thanks for holding on there.
Oh, no problem. Your show is just fabulous today, as it always is. I'm a long-time listener, first-time caller. And I just wanted to go back to Gary Zinnick's book, if I might, Give Up Worry for Lent. Mm-hmm. It's just a funny, cute little story how I came to this book. And actually, I was listening to your program well before Lent, and Debbie was mentioning the book. My first thought was, well, you know, I don't really worry. I pray. That's what I tell people. That's what I tell myself. And then one of the masses prior to Lent beginning, our pastor talked about giving up things for Lent, and he mentioned in a strong way giving up worry for Lent, and he chatted about that. And I thought on the way home, oh, my goodness, like I just heard about this book, and now the priest is talking about giving up worry. You know, maybe I better pray about this and just take a, you know, little look at myself here and see, you know, I am praying, but am I praying and still worrying a lot? So I ended up ordering the book. It is fabulous. I recommend it for any time of the year, not just Lent.
Right.
One of the scriptures he quoted is just so all that is so pertinent to today, but it was from 1 Peter, be sober, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion and seeking someone to devour. Mm-hmm. And I just feel like that fits our day and time right now. Unfortunately, I just see, you know, so much hate, so much division, and it's just so hurtful as I'm concerned about my children and grandchildren and everyone in our country and in our world. And, you know, his book was just laid out so beautifully where there's a bit of scripture, a little time to reflect, respond, and then to pray. Mm-hmm. Just so simply written, so simply done, but the power, the message so powerful. Just that, you know, prayer will always yield results, how important prayer is, and, you know, that Jesus is really the lasting source of our peace.
Right.
So I just, it's just put me on the right path. I refer to it so often, and I really have learned not to worry. Mm-hmm. The worry kind of comes, but I know where to channel that worry now. I know how to go into prayer, and I feel that I just have Jesus' peace in my heart, no matter what's going on around me.
Right. I feel the same way, Lorene. That's why I brought up the book. I mean, I was, when Gary asked me to endorse Give Up Worry for Lent, I was so happy to do it because I read it twice and then I wrote the endorsement and I actually said it's my go-to book. I mean, this is it. I love this book and so true. But then he came out just now with Let Go of Anger and Stress. So I'm going to throw it back out to you, Lorene. You got to get Let Go of Anger and Stress. It is incredible. He wrote it in the same kind of format, but you tapped into exactly what I grasped as well. It's so practical. It's kind of, you can go through the process and it lets go of all these things that we're hanging on to, right, Lorene, that are just weighing us down for no reason.
Exactly. And he was amazing. I was so impressed at the end of the 40 days that I had never done this before either. I actually sent him an email and, you know, he responded almost immediately.
That's sweet.
He was wonderful. And the last thing I just want to mention, you know, this is a really important time for prayer for our nation and our world. And I noticed that EWTN does have a novena to the Mother of God for the nation.
Mm-hmm.
That starts on the 29th of September, so people can probably just find that online like I did.
Yeah.
Yes, absolutely.
At EWTN.com, there is information about it there, and we all need to join in on that. It's a very important novena coming up. Thank you so much, Lorene. We appreciate that. We can give up chocolate, which might be good for our physical health, but if we give up worry and stress and anger and all of that stuff, it's good for our overall soul and our bodies as well. So
that's what God would want for us. He doesn't want us to be burdened with those things. Thank you, Lorene, for being a first-time caller and a long-time listener. Now you're not a first-time caller anymore. Call anytime. We just loved your call. And same with Michaeline. Thank you again. And Kathy and Kathleen and Bill. You guys are awesome. Don, we're not going to get to you. Please email us. You're a first-time caller as well from Guadalupe Radio Network. So we'd love to hear from you. You can always email us at take2@ewtn.com. Jerry, another great Unscripted by our Take Two family.
Always. And we're looking forward to Monday's broadcast. We're going to talk about church hymns. Hymns can move the soul. Has a particular hymn touched your soul? That's our topic on Monday's broadcast.
Make me a channel of your peace. I love that.
Is that yours? Is that your favorite?
I love that song. Okay, we want to hear from you. Oh, they want me to sing. I'm not going to sing it yet, Michael. Not yet. Oh, maybe off air. Have a beautiful and blessed weekend. We'll see you real soon.